Hi everyone, thanks for joining us for this week's question and answer session. I'm Laura Schoenfeld. I have a master's in public health nutrition and I will hopefully be passing my RD exam this weekend.
And I'm Kelsey Marksteiner, a registered dietitian with a master's in human nutrition and functional medicine.
So we'll be answering two questions for you today, and both of these were submitted through our submission links, so we do suggest that you use that resource as much as you'd like. And we hope that you're finding these Q&As helpful and informative. So let's get started, Kelsey. The first question is for you.
All right.
I am on day 8 of the 30-day reset program. No matter how much I eat, I am tired and hungry. Today I have had one banana, one large sweet potato, one avocado, one hard-boiled egg, and a few nuts. It's only 12:30 p.m. and I am still tired and hungry. Is this normal?
All right, so thank you for that question. I pulled that one right from the forum actually because I thought it was a good thing to talk about because this is pretty common for people when they're starting on a paleo diet. And I want to start off by answering this question with a little bit of my experience when I started a paleo diet. So I came from a pretty healthy diet that included grass-fed meat and dairy and all kind of the good stuff on a paleo diet, but I was also eating grains and legumes and things like that. So when I took those out and I started paleo, I have to say that for the first week or so, I was incredibly hungry. So really all the time, I'd eat a meal and then be hungry like 15 minutes later. So, now after thinking more about how I did it, I think it was because I wasn't eating enough carbohydrates for my body, and I was really on a fairly low carb diet, especially compared to what I had been eating before, and I think that was part of the issue for me. Now, I say this to note that we're all a little bit different. And I know there are many people out there who do excellent on a low carbohydrate version of paleo, and it really fills them up and they feel great. So that wasn't me, but we all need to figure out what our flavor of paleo is and what works for us. So in this person's situation, it looks like they're getting plenty of carbohydrates and a good amount of fat, but I'm not seeing a lot of protein for them. The only protein-rich foods this person ate was one hard-boiled egg and a few nuts. And then coming here, with that question at 12:30 in the afternoon. So for me, that would definitely leave me feeling tired and hungry, because I do well with kind of a moderate amount of carbohydrate and a high-protein diet. It's just, what makes me feel good. So I suspect that given what this person is eating right now and how they're feeling, that may also be the case for this person, that they'd probably do well with a moderate carbohydrate and high protein diet, given that their protein intake is pretty low, but they're getting, a good amount of the other macronutrients. So the other thing to think about here is that this person is on day 8 of their reset. So if adding the protein doesn't help much, though I really do think it will help, I'd consider giving it another week before thinking there's something really wrong that's going on. And I say this because not only have I experienced that increased hunger, which I will say that went away after a couple weeks, even when I was still on a low-carb version of paleo, but I know that many of my clients have felt the same way. I think for some of them, it's probably cravings too. Their body is used to having grains and sugars and things like that. And their body is just sort of looking for those foods, and nothing else seems to satiate it. So that tends to go away if you just sort of stick it out and wait a little bit. It's just really the body recalibrating somewhat. However, if you see that you're really low on one micronutrient or macronutrient, sorry, whether that be protein, carbohydrate, or fat, I'd suggest increasing whichever one you're low on. That will tend to be carbohydrates for a lot of people because they're trying to be on a low carbohydrate diet. And while that's important for some people, especially if they have blood sugar issues, it doesn't mean that you can't have any carbohydrates. And I think that's a really big distinction that needs to be made. It's really about finding out how much makes you feel good. So you need to experiment a little bit to find out what's best for you. Another common one is that people don't usually eat enough fat, and that's because we're coming usually from, a fairly low-fat diet, a standard American diet, and they just don't, well, I should say the healthy version of a standard American diet where they're trying to reduce fat in their foods and a lot of things that you buy, like dairy. I know a lot of grocery stores just don't even carry, full-fat yogurts or things like that just because people don't buy them. So for most people, they're probably coming from a diet where they're not eating a ton of fat. And they just don't add much back in when they start a paleo diet. They pick out all the other parts of a paleo diet, but sort of just keep their fat intake the same. So I think the person in this question tends to be one of the more rare things I see, in that they're not eating much protein. So they, you know, that would definitely be my first suggestion, is to add some protein and see if that doesn't help your energy and hunger issues. Especially since this was in the morning, you know, I'm assuming what was listed was the person's breakfast and maybe, you know, one snack before 12:30. And protein is really important to get in the morning because it helps us to balance our blood sugar for the rest of the day. So if this person is feeling tired and really hungry, it's possible that their blood sugar is starting to get a little bit low, if you know it's right before they're about to eat lunch. And of course, I don't know what sex or size this person is, so it's hard to judge whether they're eating enough calories for their life and what they do. But it seems like it's probably enough food and just not enough protein. So my suggestion would be to try some protein in the morning. You know, have a piece of meat or a sausage with your hard-boiled egg and see if that helps. And I really think that that should solve the issue, but if it doesn't, I'd continue with the added protein and give it another week or so. Usually those really intense hunger or cravings, they subside and people start to feel a lot better. So Laura, would you add anything to that?
I don't think I would add anything. I think the protein recommendation was really good. That was actually the first thought that came across my mind when I saw this. As you were saying, it is really hard to know if that amount of calories is enough for this person. I think if they're a highly active person, it'll change whether this kind of food is satisfying to them or not.
Right, exactly.
Because if they're walking for 30 minutes a day and that's their exercise, versus if they're doing CrossFit for 45 minutes five times a week, then they're going to need a lot more food than the other person. So
exactly.
Again, it's really important to be eating enough for your body and for your health goals. And I think, you know, regardless of what this person's weight or activity levels are, I do think that the protein is definitely way too low because, you know, an egg only has like 6 or 7 grams. And then the nuts, I mean, if it's a few, it could maybe be a couple grams. And,
yeah, I'd be starving on that, to be honest with you.
So I feel like trying to get 30 grams at every meal is a good number to shoot for. So
And I think for breakfast it's especially important. Like I mentioned, you know, it sort of helps our blood sugar to stay normalized throughout the day. And I know that, you know, just in my own experience, if I don't get a good amount of protein in the morning, I'm kind of screwed for the rest of the day. I don't feel great. Even if I sort of make up for it later in the day, it's just that morning meal that really sets you up for not only making better eating decisions for the rest of the day, but just feeling generally a lot better than you would if you have, you know, a high carbohydrate, low protein diet like this person is eating right now.
Right. Cool. Well, I think those are good recommendations. And like you said, it's one of those questions that really does require some more information about the individual to give individual recommendations. But like you said, this is potentially an issue for a lot of people where they're either eating the wrong foods or not eating enough or just not used to what they're eating. So it's good to know that it's not something that is that concerning on day 8.
Right.
So, you know, if it's day 80, that's another issue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this reset program is a perfect time to experiment because you know, the body is doing something different than it's used to. And so that can be a bit difficult when we're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. This person might be thinking, oh no, you know, I'm eating something that's terrible for me and it's making me tired and hungry. But really, you know, more likely, I think in this case, it's that their macronutrient ratios are a little bit off for what will work for them. So in a case like this where you're not really sure what's going on, it might be a good idea to consult with someone who has a little more expertise in the diet world and can kind of look at this and give you some information, and of course ask on the forum. And I think this person got some advice there, though I didn't see, when I looked the other day, someone recommend more protein. I think someone had mentioned more fat or something, but no one mentioned more protein, which I think is kind of the most important thing for this person to consider. So it might be worth, you know, checking with someone if you're not sure what's going on, because I think something like this, it can just be confusing. You know, you read a lot of information, you see a lot of information, and that oftentimes I find that it kind of puts people into information overload and they're not sure what to listen to. So, you know, they may have heard, oh, carbs aren't bad, so I can eat carbohydrates. And, you know, so they're eating plenty of good carbohydrates. Everything they're eating is paleo. You know, nothing is off of the reset program. But it might just be, of course, that they're not eating enough protein, and that's what's causing the problem for them. So you got to kind of do a little bit of experimenting and a little bit of critical thinking to figure out what could possibly be playing into an issue that you're having. And once you do that, you can try a few things and see what makes the biggest difference for you.
Right. Well, sounds good to me. Hopefully that'll be helpful to this person.
Cool. All right. You ready to move on?
Sure.
All right, so this question is for you, and it's, what do you think about taking a green food superfood supplemental powder every day? If I'm trying to follow a clean paleo eating type of diet, do you feel it's necessary or good for a person to take a green superfood supplement? I really don't want to take any unnecessary supplements.
Okay, so before I even answer this question, I would like to apologize if my sound cuts out a little bit. My internet's been a little shaky the last couple of days, so hopefully you guys will be able to hear everything I'm saying. But I just want to say that a greens powder is definitely not necessary. So if this person is concerned about taking unnecessary supplements, then they should stop taking the powder. And there are very few supplements that I would really consider necessary for the general population. And even in specific cases, there's only a few others that might actually be conditionally necessary depending on the person's health concerns. So one example of that might be a vitamin D supplement for someone who has an autoimmune disease and can't really get much sun exposure. But I wouldn't say vitamin D is a necessary supplement for the majority of the population. So now that we've established that a greens powder supplement isn't actually necessary, we can talk about whether it's a supplement that might promote health and if it's even worth taking if it's in the person's budget to do so. And I think that when it comes to dietary powders like protein powder or greens powders, there are some high quality ones that end up being very much just like food and can really just be considered to be a part of the daily diet, but they do tend to be pretty expensive, so not everyone is going to be able to use them regularly or maybe even at all. And really, you should be trying to eat a variety of plant foods on a regular basis. So these greens powders shouldn't be replacing those foods at all. They might just be an additional source of nutrients that, you know, if you're just interested in getting more and you're not sure if you're eating enough vegetables, it could be a good add-on. However, if you're going to use a greens powder, there are a few things you should look out for when you're choosing a brand. First, you want to make sure you're using a 100% organic brand, since many conventional fruits and vegetables have a lot of pesticides on them, and you don't want to be using a greens powder that is made from non-organic plant foods. And it's also important to look for powders that don't have a lot of fillers in them, such as gums and extra fibers like, now I'm blanking on the fiber type. It's the one that's always in all the supplements.
Oh, like inulin or something like that?
No, not inulin. Oh, it's now I'm blanking. I'm sure I'll remember, like, as soon as we start answering this question. It's because I don't use this kind of stuff. So, well, anyway, so they have additional insoluble and soluble fibers added. And those can be difficult to digest, especially if you have gut issues. So if you get a greens powder that has tons of these additional fibers in them and you have something like IBS, then that actually may make your symptoms a lot worse. So you should read the label and see if there's any potential problematic foods for you, including things like nightshades or soy, since many powders use things like tomatoes, for example, as part of their formula, and that's a nightshade. Or they may use wheatgrass as a green source, and even though I don't think that should be an issue for most people with gluten sensitivities, it might not be worth taking if you're highly sensitive to gluten or wheat or allergic to wheat, because it's hard to know how someone would react to wheatgrass if they have a wheat allergy, and it's better just to not play around with that kind of stuff. So one brand that I like as far as greens powders goes is called Douglas Labs Organic Greens and Reds. And the reason why I like it is because it has a lot of different types of green vegetables and red and orange fruits in it. And even though it does have wheatgrass, it also has things like broccoli, kale, beets, raspberries, tomatoes, strawberry, pomegranate, and even more that, you know, there's just a ton of them on the list. And there is some amount of gum acacia and inulin and cellulose in this product, But I do think that gum acacia is one of the more harmless gums out there. And I think this powder tastes pretty good, and it makes a good overall smoothie blend. And when I make smoothies, I usually add fresh fruits and vegetables to them anyway. So adding this powder might just be increasing the amount of phytonutrients and other potential beneficial compounds that you would be getting in one serving. And I will say, though, that I do think it's more important to get enough whole, fresh vegetables and fruits rather than to buy these supplemental powders. And honestly, the only reason why I've ever used that powder that I recommended was because my parents have it in their house, and it just happened to be a convenient and freely available thing that I could just throw into a smoothie when I wanted it. And now that I'm back living on my own, I don't actually even have any supplemental powders in my pantry. So if I'm going to make a smoothie drink, I usually use fresh greens and fruits rather than powders. And I really like things like baby spinach because it has a very mild flavor and it doesn't add the same bitterness that other vegetables might add to the smoothie.
Yeah, but I love spinach, baby spinach smoothie. They're really, really good.
You can put a ton of it in there and you don't even taste it. But yeah. I am lucky I have a BlendTec blender, which is really good at pureeing those whole fruits and vegetables into an easy-to-drink blend. But, I think with the powders, I worry that people will be using those instead of using the fresh plant food. And I don't think it's a replacement. I think it might be just an additional thing you might want to add just in case, you know. I mean, there may be benefits, there may not be, but the closer it is to whole food, fruit and vegetables, the better it's going to be.
Definitely.
So do you use any greens powders ever?
I don't, and I've actually never used a greens powder. And it's not something that I usually recommend to my clients. And I'm kind of on your side here saying that, you know, whole foods is always better. And I think there's not like a ton of benefit that you would necessarily get from adding a greens powder. Of course, it's wonderful. It's giving you some extra stuff, but it's certainly by no means necessary. And I don't even think that, you know, it's all that therapeutic for someone. If they're already, you know, willing to do a whole food smoothie with fresh fruits and vegetables. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not something I personally use or recommend all that often. I just think in terms of supplements, I think this was a great question in saying, you know, that the person really doesn't want to take unnecessary supplements. And I think a lot of times we sort of buy into all this marketing that goes along with so many of these supplements, and we end up taking like 1,000 things, you know, and while some of them can be really, really useful, there are others that, while certainly, you know, not bad for us, they're just not necessarily adding much to what we're doing, you know?
Right. And actually, I just remembered what the name of that fiber is called. It's psyllium husks.
Ah, there we go.
So yeah, I was like, I know it's in my head, but, yeah, so what I like about that one brand that I mentioned is that it's pretty much just pure dehydrated and then powdered vegetables and fruits. So something like that I would see is just, you know, if you want to throw it into your smoothie that already has some vegetables and fruit in it, then that's fine. But there are some greens powders out there that have a lot of synthetic vitamins added or, like right. I said, fillers that aren't necessarily going to be digested very well. And so, you know, I don't think that you have to buy a greens powder to get enough green plants in your diet. And it's generally a waste of money for most people, I would think. I mean,
yeah, and
you know, if you have
the other side of things, you know, like you have to think about how much you're willing to spend on these things. And for a lot of people I work with, you know, they want to get the most bang for their buck. And I think that's a totally reasonable request. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to sort of keep it to maybe the 5 or less supplements that I think are really, really going to help them. And because I do that, I think, you know, a green food supplement tends to not be on that list because it's something that they can get from whole food. And I'd much rather see them doing that anyway.
Right. I feel like it's one of those things that if you want to do it, then just look for a good quality one and don't feel like it has to be an everyday thing. Maybe you just use it a couple times a week if you have a post-workout smoothie or something, and you know, you just throw a scoop into your your other whole food smoothie, and it's not just, you know, a green powder in water or something right. like that.
So. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's something I see a lot is people using those shake supplements, even, you know, people who are really into whole foods, and they tend to use those things where you just mix it with water. And to me, you know, that, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'd much rather see someone actually take the time to make a smoothie, even though, of course, there, you know, there's research about smoothies and that drinking food is definitely, you know, not the best way to consume your food, but I think it's perfectly fine. But I wouldn't kind of go that extra step and just eat like a powder, you know, powder with water type smoothie thing. And I think that, you know, especially if it was just a green superfood smoothie that you're just mixing with water, there's not a whole lot else going on for you in that. And I think you can get a lot of great stuff from a smoothie if you're doing it right.
Yeah, and I think one thing is that people who can't eat a lot of vegetables might benefit from a good greens powder that doesn't have a lot of those fillers in it.
Right.
Because obviously if you're unable to eat a lot of fiber due to IBS or something like that, then potentially using those products can be helpful to get the green nutrients that you might be losing out on. But that said, like I mentioned, a lot of these less expensive greens brands are full of like the different types of gums and fibers that actually would just do the same thing that regular plants right. would do. So again, you have to kind of be choosy about which brand you use and which type you use, and, you know, really think about why you're doing it and if it's necessary or if it's something that you feel is worth the money.
Right. And that said, you know, about IBS and everything, I think that's a good point, is if someone can't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and they're kind of looking for a low fiber version of getting all those nutrients, I think probably juicing would be the way to go versus even, you know, a green superfood supplement like this, because like you mentioned, there's a lot of crap in those supplements sometimes.
Right.
And if you're not getting a good one, or maybe not willing to spend the money to get a good one, if you can get some good quality and fairly cheap produce, you know, you might just be better off juicing and seeing how that goes for you.
Right. So there's a lot of options, but at the end of the day, the whole vegetable is the ideal source.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, so that's the two questions that we have for today. So again, feel free to submit your questions through our submission link, or as Kelsey mentioned, one of her questions was from the forum, so you can get your question answered that way. And look forward to seeing you around next time.
All right. Take care, Laura.
You too, Kelsey.